bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with yoga. Now, the reason that probably sounds funny, the reason I say that is when I was 14, my mother forced me to do yoga. I have scoliosis, and apparently it was too late for me to get the brace. Oh, well, shucks. But anyway, so I thought I was off the hook, and then my mother found this amazing yoga teacher, this Iyengar teacher from India, and she used to take me over there, and it really hurt. I was really skinny and awkward and out of shape, and for me, it was a chore. Now, it wasn't until later on that I was able to do it and actually enjoy it. And a matter of fact, when I was pregnant, I did it every single day of my pregnancy, like literally up until the day I gave birth. It made a huge difference. So I think I'm much more on the love side, although I have fallen off the yoga wagon. So I'm so excited to have Brian Leaf. He is one of my favorite people to talk to on the show. He is such a great guy. He has a bunch of great books. Today we're talking about The Teacher Appears, 108 Prompts to Power Your Yoga Practice. Brian, hello there.
Hey, how's it going? You know, your everyday yoga thing made me think of when I was a little younger, I did this thing called Bike New York, and it's this 52-mile bike fundraiser through all the boroughs of Manhattan. It's very unusual because they shut down the streets in Manhattan, you know, which they like only do, you know, probably for, I don't know, they never do. But I was going to say for the president, but then I couldn't get into it. I just couldn't go there. But
yeah.
I trained like every day. I rode my bike every day to get in shape, and then we did the race, and it was super fun. It was great. And then I just didn't ride my bike again for literally 12 years. Not because I was so sore or something. I just didn't ride again. So I'm wondering if after your everyday yoga, after you gave birth, if it was 12 years.
It's been a long time. No, it's,
yeah.
Well, you know what's funny is a few years after my daughter was born, I started doing Pilates, and I'm still doing. As a matter of fact, I'm wicked sore because I do Pilates still. And my teacher, you know, I'm in the intermediate class, and even though I've been doing it for years, I still sometimes feel like I should be in the beginning. So she kicks our butt. It is hard, but oh man, it's good. It's good stuff. But anyway, I do want to get back into yoga. So I was so excited to get your book, Brian. Now, we've talked before. You contributed to a book that I did, and I know your story about yoga and how you got started. But since this is a longer show, which I love, we can have a little more time. I'd love for you to jump into what you used yoga for, how it helped you, and then let's jump into The Teacher Appears. Lots of jumping here on the show.
All right, cool. That sounds good. So I grew up in New Jersey, and I was a really hardworking kid, straight-A student, very stressed out. I was actually the number one debater in New Jersey, or in northern New Jersey.
Wow.
Which is really, you know, like anybody who knows New Jersey, you know that being the number one debater in North New Jersey, you know, that's serious. That's big business, because everybody just sort of argues for fun all the time in that part of the world, you know? So anyway, I was super stressed out, and I had ulcerative colitis, which is like an ulcer of the colon. Mm. And I'm 6'2", I lost a ton of weight, and I weighed 142 pounds. I was really sick. I was in bad shape. My parents brought me to a bunch of doctors, and eventually they found the right meds, and I got better. And then 2 years later, it came back. I was now at Georgetown University. I was in school there. And as soon as I got to Georgetown, right after I got better from colitis, actually, but with the meds helped, I got into yoga. And right away, I just knew it was for me. You know, it's like somebody who falls in love. You just know, you just found your soulmate. So I just found this thing that was for me. I loved it. And 2 years later, 2 years into Georgetown, the symptoms came back. And that's the way colitis is for a lot of people. It's like on a period, I guess. Or it can be triggered by stress. Both, I think, are possible. But for me, it was 2 years, it came back. And, I went back to my doctor. I flew home, and I had some tests and the whole deal, and I had colitis again. It was a flare-up. I came out of remission, and they were trying the meds, and this time they weren't working, and I was really scared. It was terrifying. You know, there was talk of colostomy and all kinds of stuff. And then one day I realized that the days where I did yoga, and I was just 2 years into yoga. This was back in 1990 or so. And I realized the days where I went to this yoga class at Georgetown, I felt a little better. So I don't even know how I made this leap, but I just thought, man, what if I did a ton of yoga? So I made this plan. I started doing yoga 5 times a day for about 20 minutes each time, sun salutations,
wow,
and then a relaxation, for anybody who knows the specifics. And you know, amazingly, it's a true story, 3 days later, my symptoms went away. And it was, you know, that made me a total zealot. That now I was sold. I was super into yoga. 2 years later, the symptoms came back. Of course, I stopped doing it five times a day, you know. I went back to, you know, maybe once every day or two at that time. And then 2 years later, the symptoms came back again. And this time, I jumped right into the yoga, nipped it in the butt, so to speak. Or is it the bud? And then I symptoms went away again. And there we go.
That is so incredible. Now, I know you also used it to help you with ADHD as well. And that's something that we talked about in the book I did, Easy to Love but Hard to Live With, about people with invisible brain-based disorders, whether it be, or I should say, differences, as my daughter likes to say, learning differences or mental health challenges, things like that.
Yeah. So, you know, the first part of the healing for me was the physical healing. And that's the way I think healing happens, you know. Sometimes I, you know, healed the physical symptoms. I no longer had the blood and the mucus of colitis, which was really great. Then I think just slowly over time, just yoga and conscious living and being aware of these things. And, you know, I started studying conscious living and healthy living a little bit more and more and more. I started kind of undoing some of the deeper roots of what caused the colitis for me. You know, just learning to express my emotions better and not holding things in so much, and which I think were the roots for me of the colitis, in my case, learning how to deal with stress. I just didn't know these things when I was younger. I just didn't. No men knew those things in 1985. You know, you just weren't, men weren't like that. We were all like Magnum P.I., very solemn.
Yeah, the big mustache and everything.
Yeah, big mustache. So then, years later, I was seeing a therapist, and I had been traveling around studying yoga in different places and whatever. I never really had a job or stuck with things at that time. I was in my late 20s. And she said one day, you know, I think you need to face the fact that maybe, you know, you're not just sort of a noble free spirit, but part of why you don't stick with things is because you have ADD. And, you know, I did the same thing anybody does when they're told a great truth about themselves. I stopped seeing her. And no, I'm kidding, you know, but I didn't want to hear it. I was really angry.
Good.
You know, I kind of ran away from it. But then a couple of days later, I realized that she was right. You know, there was a way in which I was a free spirit and I was roaming around and studying. But also, it was hard for me to see things through. And so I was really upset about it because it felt like, oh, gosh, I have ADD. I'm never going to be able to hold down a job. I'm never going to be able to hold it. That's not true, of course. But that's, you know, the fears that came up for me. I'm never going to be able to hold down a relationship. Because to that point, I hadn't, actually. I was a super lovely, very, you know, bearded, free-spirited fellow, but I didn't do those things, and partly because I was free, partly because it was hard for me to. So, and then I remembered my experience with colitis, and I thought, well, maybe there's something in natural health that can help me rebalance a little bit, can make it so that, you know, that this is a proclivity of mine, but not a big flare-up, not, you know, maybe make it manageable. So I started reading everything I could and trying to find some connection. And eventually I found a connection in Ayurveda, which is like the therapeutic side of yoga, the medicine of yoga in a way. In India, it would be in the old days, the traditional medical system. And I found this thing that talked about an imbalance that looks like ADD, distractibility and hyperfocusing and all of it. And I was like, wow, cool, that's it. So I started studying Ayurveda a lot. And yeah, and I found that, you know, there were holistic ways to manage, for me, my ADD, to make me more able to focus at will, to train my brain, to make me able to see things through. And, it, you know, it's like ADD and colitis are probably still my weak link. They're my proclivity. If I were to just let it go, that's what would show up. But they're manageable, you know, and I'm able to write 13 books, for example.
You're incredible.
Thanks.
Well, you know, speaking of books, okay, so the first time I had you on was Misadventures of a Garden State Yogi. Everybody, you got to get this book. It's flipping awesome. And then I had you on again for Misadventures of a Parenting Yogi, Cloth Diapers, Co-Sleeping, and My Sometimes Successful Quest for Conscious Parenting, another flipping awesome book. And now, my goodness, I've got The Teacher Appears, 108 Prompts to Power Your Yoga Practice. For people who haven't seen the book, and I highly encourage they get it, tell us a little bit about it and why you wrote it.
So, a couple things. I saw, I was in a bookstore, and I saw the book Wreck This Journal, which is this great book. You should check it out if people haven't seen it. It's a book about creativity. It's just really neat. It's a book of journal prompts, but they're really wacky, like crazy stuff, like tear this page out and hide it in your neighbor's shrubs. I was with my 11-year-old, and he just thought it was the funniest thing, and it just blew me away. It was like, you know, we just need to gently, safely break the rules once in a while. And I liked how the book jumped off the page. I mean, what book ever tells you to crumple up a page from that book, you know? So I just thought, you know, we need one of these in yoga. You know, people are too serious. And I don't know, I'm always about trying to reclaim the real aim of yoga, which, you know, the real aim of yoga is not just to master the headstand. The real aim of yoga is to connect with our heart and to live in the world from our heart, to realize we're not alone, to connect with other people from our heart, to stop competing, you know. And so I just thought, boy, we need one of these in yoga. So I just decided I was just motivated to write one. So that's what The Teacher Appears is. It's like that for yoga. So it's a book, an illustrated journal of prompts that just encourage people to do different things. And some of them are funny, some of them are playful, some of them are serious, but they try to cross the fourth wall and actually employ the book itself. You know, like have a catch with this book, or bounce this book on your head, or like fart into this book, or whatever, you know, things like that.
It's so funny you say that, because no, but it does say fart once, or just once, fart loudly during a yoga class, check box and completed. And it's just the rest of the page is blank, and you have it in the middle in this little box. Well, today in Pilates, I did fart. I don't know if people didn't notice. There's only four people in the class, and we're on reformers. But it's so embarrassing. I don't know. Nobody looked over, but you never know. But it wasn't something I consciously did, actually. I would have not wanted to.
Yeah, no. I mean, I think it connects us with our vulnerability, our humanity. One time I was in a yoga class, and there was this very young kind of, you know, sort of attractive teacher. And I mean, it could be anybody. It doesn't matter that she was a young attractive teacher. In fact, scratch that. Sure. Let's delete that from the thing. But so I'm in downward dog posture, and just, you know, released a little bit there, had a little fart by accident. And all of a sudden I see she's coming over to give me an assist, and I start waving her away, you know, because I just, you know, I need my personal space for that moment there. I'm just not interested in someone else entering my personal space while the fart is there. But anyway, back to the book. You know, speaking of this, just before we were on the air, I was just telling you that I just had a funny experience this morning. I was on another show this morning, and it's a vegan radio show. And I don't know why. I don't know what made me do this. I just thought everybody would think it was funny, but they didn't. I started telling them this story. There's a follow-up book for The Teacher Appears. The Teacher Appears 2 is going to come out eventually.
Cool.
It's another book like this, an illustrated journal, and with... Well, one thing we haven't talked about is that in The Teacher Appears, I asked various celebrity yogis in this one, to contribute a prompt, and it's great. You know, some of the people I really look up to, and they share their wisdom. So in this follow-up book, I'm doing that as well. So one person who contributed was Alicia Silverstone. She's a big vegan and a big yogi. So I'm on this vegan talk show this morning, and I think, oh, I'll tell my Alicia Silverstone story. So the story is that she reviewed the Parenting Yogi book, and she, in her blog, which was really cool, you know, she's a famous actress, and so it was really good endorsement. And the whole thing, she's talking about how she loves it. It's really funny. It's really great. And then at the end of the blog, at the end of the review, she says, I just have one complaint. Brian talks about eating meat during the book. She's a big vegan advocate. You know, and she said, if he would just give up meat, he and his family, I know that they would be a lot happier and their spiritual life would progress and all these things. And it was so pretty. I thought it was crazy, you know? Not that she's wrong. Just, I don't know. It's just so kind of zealous,
well,
you know?
I don't know. Yes.
And it was funny because my wife got really mad, because the first time I ever seen her get mad at any of the reviews or anything I got. And so I'm telling this on this radio show this morning, and all of a sudden the interviewer says, whoa, I didn't know you weren't vegan. You know, we wouldn't have had you on if you weren't vegan. I felt so bad.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's so funny because on a recent episode, people should go listen to it, I had two wonderful gals who wrote a book about vegan eating, and they had gone from being vegans to being vegans, which means they eat seafood. And she said, holy cow, did they get hateful email. I'm like, why can't people just do what they want to do? What works for them? What works for their spiritual journey and their health? But anyway, that's me. On Talk Healthy today, you can eat whatever you want. Still come and talk to me.
Yeah,
I prefer you not eating Twinkies, but I'll still talk to you.
Right.
But yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, I can kind of see. I don't want to upset Alicia Silverstone, but I can kind of see why your wife got mad, because again, there's this sort of a self-righteousness, I think. And this kind of comes sometimes with yoga. Maybe you've met people. Like, I used to live in Santa Cruz, California. Okay. And people out there can be a little judgy, to say the least. And if you're not doing yoga every day, or you're not eating this, or you're not doing that, you get a lot of flack. So I'm not generalizing, but I think you know what I'm saying.
We've all done it probably. It's easy to go there by accident. You know, I saw this great quote.
Totally.
It said something like, you know, totally do it. You know, lose yourself in natural health. It's wonderful. I mean, I feel great. I'm sure you feel great. It's doing Pilates, doing yoga, eating better. It's great. But it was funny. It said,
oh, definitely.
It said, don't get so into it, though, that you wind up sitting in your kitchen eating raw organic kale all by yourself, judging everybody else. It's so funny. You know, it's really, I mean, I've been there. Absolutely. I mean, there are times where, I remember when I first got my first book deal, you know, like, you just get lost in something. And I remember just walking around thinking, that poor guy over there, he doesn't have a book deal. You know, it's like you just get lost in whatever matters to you. You just forget. You just lose perspective for a minute, you know?
Oh, gosh. Brian, we should have our own show. I could talk to you forever. You're so much fun. Thank goodness we still have more time. All right, so let's jump back into this book. I mean, you know, I love this, too. You have a drawing of like a cup of, it could be tea or coffee or something. Ask someone from yoga class out to tea or for a walk. I think that's great. Visualize a white lotus flower behind your belly button. Picture it radiant, shining with a bright light. Meditate on this flower for 5 minutes. Because sometimes you feel like you want to take a breath or you want to slow down, but you're not really sure what to do, or you might have trouble like me. I have trouble meditating, but I do like to deep breathe. I do like to journal. And I think that's why this book is so great. And I'm also a huge fan of all the people who are contributors. Shawn Korn, I used to do her yoga all the time. And Shiva Ray, she was the one that I did the entire time during my pregnancy.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was so grateful to these folks for contributing to the book. You know, they were so generous, and it's great to have them share their wisdom in it. Definitely. Yeah, Shawn Korn is great. She, what was her prompt in the book? It was, she talked about dedicating your practice. You know, she's the real deal. She really, like,
she
could have done a lot of things, and she just really stays true. But her prompt is something about dedicating your practice to somebody or something you love or somebody who needs healing.
That's beautiful.
And then be mindful of how that alters your practice. And it kind of reminds me of what we talked about a few minutes ago. You know, it's like, it's possible even to get really self-centered in this quest for health, you know, eating the kale alone in the kitchen, judging everybody else, or the yoga or whatever. And it's a great reminder to be of service, you know, to dedicate one's practice to somebody else. Even that simple one you read about asking somebody from class for tea, you know, it's nice to connect in that way.
I think so, too. You know, it's funny because my husband would laugh at me for saying what I was saying earlier about the people in Santa Cruz, because he'll come home. I'll say, oh, hon, I had this amazing meal and I had all this stuff. What did you eat today? What did you eat today? And he's like, oh, aren't we feeling good about ourselves? Ooh, aren't we special? <You know? laughs> Although he eats as healthy as I am and exercises more than me. And he does yoga and meditates every single morning. Gosh darn him. I need to, get on the ball here. But it is easy because you get caught up in it. You know, for a while, I was really caught up in the paleo thing. And I'm like, paleo this, paleo that, paleo this. And my daughter and my husband are like, enough already. Okay, we get it. Can we just eat?
I always joke about that in the book. Like, you know, after yoga cured the colitis, you know, I just became this total zealot. It's like all I could talk about. I was just like on a soapbox. You know, I would just literally be waiting at a stoplight, you know, and thought, oh, I've got a minute and a half. And I would do some yoga posture, you know. I think you go into that space for sure. You just get really, which is cool, which is fine, which is great.
Yeah, I think it's good. I mean, look what you did. But look what you did. I mean, that's incredible. You need to be shouting this from the rooftops, because there are people suffering out there, right, with these ailments that could be getting better with yoga and spirituality and mindfulness and all the other great stuff you talk about.
It's true. You're right. Yeah, it's a good point.
You know, I'm going to jump back into the book again. I love this. Every time you speak today, place your hand on your heart. It says probably best done on a day off from work. You're so funny too, Brian. Like, I'm sure people can tell just listening to us. I mean, I wish she lived next door so we can just like get our families together all the time and just hang out. But you just have such a great natural way about you.
Thank you. Yeah, that is a funny one. I agree. I like little things like that. But no, that's true. Put your hand on your heart when you speak. What a glorious thing. You know, I don't know if we talked about this one other time. I was really moved. I was in so my wife is Christian and I'm Jewish, and so we sort of do both. And I grew up Jewish, but we were on the high holidays on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. We went to a synagogue nearby here we hadn't been to before. And I was really moved because it was a bit of an unusual, more spiritual-ish, kind of more Kabbalah type or something service. And the rabbi, actually, and the cantor were talking about how, it must have been Rosh Hashanah, I'm not sure, honestly, but how on that day we remember our heart. And he said, for this song, we place our hand on our heart. And it was so cool because it reminded me of that prompt. And he talked more about it and kind of preached about it. It was beautiful. And it's so, I don't know, putting my hand on my heart, just talking about our hearts, let alone putting my hand there, you know, it really does kind of connect me to that. It's really beautiful. But, you know, I think at the accounting firm, it might be awkward.
You know, I'm Jewish. I would love to find a temple like you're talking about. You know, we only have a couple minutes left, so I want to bring up this one, because if we all did this, nobody would be stressed out because we would all be taking deep, mindful breaths. For the rest of the day, every time you hear a smartphone beep or buzz, stop whatever you are doing and take a deep, mindful breath. Holy cow, right? I mean, that thing is always going off.
You know what that one was inspired by was, do you remember when we were kids, it was either Dukes of Hazzard or Cannonball Run. Most of my yoga is inspired by Dukes of Hazzard and Cannonball Run. No, not really. But do you remember there was this thing where the sheriff, like Boss Hogg or something, I don't know, he had a blood pressure problem, so he hit this beeper. And whenever the beeper went off,
right,
he had to stop. And this is, you know, way before most people are doing yoga. When the beeper goes off, he has to stop and do basically what we would now call the sun breath. He has to bring his arms up through the sides and overhead slowly and breathe a long, deep breath and then long exhale as his arms go down. And the Dukes or whoever it is, I don't know, keep getting away because as soon as he gets stressed, the buzzer goes off and he has to stop and he has to do that and then they get away. And it was the big comedy of the thing. But that's where that prompt comes from.
Oh, that is hysterical. Boy, were they ahead of their time. Who knew?
Yeah, that's it. I loved in the old days when yoga showed up in these shows. It was a real treat.
Yeah, it's so good. You are fantastic. Again, Brian Leaf, your book is The Teacher Appears, 108 Prompts to Power Your Yoga Practice with contributions from Krishna Das, Sean Korn, Jack Kornfield, Sharon Gannon, Shiva Ray, and more. All right, Brian, tell us all the ways we can find out about you. And seriously, folks, I tell you, get Brian's book. Check out his stuff. He is just fantastic, as you can hear.
Yeah, thanks. So people, the website is is actually www.teacherappears.net, teacherappears.net. I'd love to hear from people. Also on Facebook, if you look for Misadventures of a Garden State Yogi or The Teacher Appears on Facebook or Brian Leaf, love to hear from folks. And got a workshop coming up in Boston, a workshop coming up in New York City,
Ooh.
Got some tele stuff going on the website. So check it out. Love to connect with people.
Ooh, when are you going to be in Boston?
Let's see, July 29th, actually.
Okay, we got to talk. All right, Brian, you are fantastic. And I want to thank everybody for listening to Talk Healthy today. I'm just so blessed that I get to do this show and I get to talk to such fantastic people like Brian. If you want to hear more, please subscribe on iTunes. You can rate and review. It really, really helps the show. You can also listen on RadioMD.com. You can check me out on Twitter at HealthMediaGal1. And just everybody take care, do some yoga, take a deep breath, and have a great day. Stay well.